Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control. My sugar was out of control. Waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 455. And we are in the book of 1 Corinthians today. We will be doing chapters 12, 13, and 14. Moving right along. Yep, won't be too long. I'll be done. And it's been a wild ride, folks. Going to finish up the New Testament, and then it'll all be repeats after that. I have been working so hard for so long. This has been about a three-year project just doing the shows, starting out on a little bitty tiny laptop that was, you know, real slow. Now I got state-of-the-art equipment, and I can actually help with some of the stuff at EFR, and that just suits me fine. My ministry has been a blessing to me. I don't consider it work. I consider it a joy and a pleasure. Serving the Master and my brothers and sisters in Israel. Let's get started here. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. Now, there are other people that go by Pastor Steve out there, so I'm not them. That's my website. If you get a hold of somebody and you take a look at the photos that they've got on their website, they've got a mixed race congregation. That's not me, okay? Chapter 12, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians here. And concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not wish you to be ignorant. Verse 2, And verse 2, you can reference Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, and chapter 4, verse 17. That's Ephesians 2:11 and 4:17. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. That's 1 Peter 4, verse 3. And 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 2 here. You know that you were nations led away to the dumb idols, even as you might be led. You were nations in dispersion, okay? That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about being foreign nations. They were in dispersion in the nations, as we are today, okay? Verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of Elohim says Yahshua is a curse. And no one is able to say that Yahshua is master except by the set apart Spirit. Now, verses 4 through 11, verses 4 through 11 here reference Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 through 8, that's Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Verse 4, and there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different kinds of services, but the same Master. Verse 6, and there are different kinds of workings, but it is the same Elohim who is working all in all. Verse 7. And to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for profiting. In other words, being useful in the work for Yahshua. Okay. Verse 8, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, and to another belief by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, and to another operations of powers, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another kinds of tongues, that's languages, and to another interpretation of tongues, that's interpretation of languages. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he intends. Okay. What he's saying is here, everybody's got their strong points. Everybody's got a different gift from the Holy Spirit. And as a congregation, we are stronger. Left out on our own, I mean, we do what we do according to that particular gift. But grouped together, you're going to have the whole package, basically. The Holy Spirit's going to have somebody that can preach and teach. The Holy Spirit's going to have somebody that can heal. The Holy Spirit's going to have somebody that knows how to interpret things. The Holy Spirit's going to have somebody that can maybe help fix things for the members of the congregation. Build stuff. Help work on a building if you're blessed enough to have a building where you can assemble. I mean, there's all sorts of gifts, talents, abilities that you may not have had before, but you will have as Yahweh wills it through His Holy Spirit. He works miracles in His people. I mean, you may not be walking on water, but you may be fixing a roof where somebody else couldn't fix that roof. They wouldn't know how. I know how, but I can no longer do it because I can't climb the ladders and get up on the roof. I'm an old man. Well, they'll have a young fellow to help with that. You know, I can do certain things. I'm called to preach. I'm called to teach. I've been given an understanding of the Hebrew and the Greek through Yahweh. I wouldn't have learned it on my own. That's a gift. That's what he's talking about here. Spiritual gifts to the people in the remnant, in the congregation, that they can use to benefit different kinds of gifts for profit. Now, he's not talking about making money. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for profiting. In other words, to help with the work of Yahweh. He's not talking about making money profit. Okay? It will be a benefit to all. That's what he's talking about. And he goes on in verse 12. And for verse 12, you can reference Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. That's Romans 12, 4 and 5. Okay, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Messiah. We are united in the Messiah. An assembly of believers and doers is a body of believers and doers. Each one has its function like the parts of the body. Verse 13. For indeed, by one Spirit, we were all immersed into one body. Whether Yahudim or Greeks, it would be Hellenes, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for indeed the body is not one member, but many. Okay, what is he talking about, Yahudim or Greeks? They're all Israelites. The Greeks were Israelites in dispersion in Greece. Or Macedonia. Or Rome. Or New York City. Or Lexington, Kentucky. You know, I'm an Israelite. I'm a racial Israelite. In dispersion. I'm not over in Palestine. I'm not over in Jerusalem. But I'm still an Israelite. And if you are hearing my voice, and you are of Israel, and you are a believer, you understand what I'm talking about. We're all over the place. We're not in one spot anymore. We have been dispersed because of disobedience. But he is gathering a remnant. Doesn't matter where we are. If I am in Kentucky and there's a believer in London, England, we're in the same spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of Yahweh. We're being gathered because Yahweh's not one little tiny place. He's all over, okay? And it's just marvelous, you know. Verse 15. He goes on to expand on this. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Does it therefore not belong to the body? Verse 16. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Does it therefore not belong to the body? Verse 17. And this will take some understanding here. If all the body was an eye, where would be the hearing? And if all hearing, where would be the smelling? Verse 18, but now Elohim has set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as he pleased. Verse 19, and if they had all been one member, where would the body be? Verse 20, and now there are indeed many members, but one body. Okay, we are united in Yeshua Messiah. We're one body in the Christ, the Anointed One. We are the anointed people. We are the anointed assembly. Okay? Anointed just doesn't apply to Christ. Anointed applies to the inheritance of Yahweh as well. That's us. Smile. Yahweh loves you. You know? Hey, if you're part of the remnant and we've got all this trouble coming up, it may affect us, yes, in our earthly bodies right here. But we're not going to suffer the second death. We're going to be resurrected into eternal life. As it stands in the world, everybody checks out, okay? But not everybody's going to be resurrected to eternal life. If you're true and you keep that faith until your body stops functioning and you leave that body, you're going to get a new one eventually because you're not bound by the laws of time. You're not going to lay in a grave and be conscious and be suffering while your body decomposes. That's not going to happen to you. It describes it in Scripture that you will sleep. Okay? You're going to sleep. You're not going to know. You will wake one at a time, in a new body. And if we are still here, those of us that are still here, when Messiah returns, we will be transformed into that new body. All the imperfections will be wiped away. And some of us, maybe not me, because I'm an old man, I would hope to see the Messiah's return in my time, because it's getting mighty ugly out there. But if not, and I sleep, I will have that new body. I will be a young man. I will be without sin. I will not be tempted anymore. All the temptation will be gone when you enter your new body. And the body that you've got now, if you are here when he returns, that body will be transformed into the same kind of body that we had before we fell from grace, the original Adamic body, the eternal one. Okay, the one that wouldn't die. We're going to be that. Okay, and that's what the enemy fears. He really does. Just panicking all over the place. Had to take my morning herbs and drink a little coffee. Okay. Verse 21. And an eye is unable to say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22. But much rather, those members of the body which are thought to be weaker are necessary. In other words, not everybody in your assembly is going to be the preacher. You're going to have people that are doing all different types of tasks in the assembly. That's what he's telling people right here. Don't look down because you're not up front preaching. Maybe that's not your gift. But maybe your gift is if somebody has suffered a loss and they need consoling, that you are very compassionate and you can just say the right thing to that person to comfort them. And if you think that's not a gift, oh, please. I mean, when we get together, there are people that are just a blessing to everybody. That just, you know, just by being around you, they make you feel good. That's a gift, okay? I mean, we're facing rough times, remnant. We understand that. I understand that. But take heart. I mean, we're going to have to tough this out. It's not going to be a rapture. That's a lie. We're going to have to occupy until the end, until the master returns. And then it's going to be kick butt time, okay? We understand that too. Don't think because of all the publicity and all the fol-de-rol that you hear on the news media that the enemy is winning. He is not winning. He's panicking. And he will present all these lies to you via his format, which is the media. And the movies and the TV and the talking heads and on the internet, lots of deception. Stay in the faith. Don't lose hope in Yahweh, because there is evidence of evil and a battle going on. We need to expect that. That's going to happen. There's going to be badness. But don't let the badness get you down. Okay? That's what the assemblies are, to give each other strength, to strengthen each other and comfort one another and to help one another. That's what he's talking about right here. This is what Paul is telling these people. All right. Verse 23. And to those of the body which we think to be less respected, these we present greater respect, and our unseemly members have greater seemliness. In other words, somebody's got to do the dirty work. Verse 24, whereas our seemly members have no need, but Elohim blended together the body, that's the assembly, having given greater respect to that member which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no division in the body. Stop the infighting, in other words. But that the members should have the same concern one for another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is esteemed, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, and you are a body of Messiah and members individually. The members make up the whole of the body. That's the assembly, okay? Verse 28, reference Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. And Elohim has appointed these in the assembly. Firstly, emissaries. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, ministrations, kinds of tongues. Verse 29. Are all emissaries? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Verse 30. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31. But earnestly seek the better gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Not everybody is the same. Everybody has their gift that they can bring into the assembly to help the rest of the assembly. That's the message of that particular chapter. A great message that applies today. Very solid. All right. Chapter 13. We entered chapter 12. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. If I speak with the tongues of men and of messengers, but do not have love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It's just noise. Verse 2. And you can reference Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and chapter 21, verse 21. That's Matthew 17, 20, and 21, 21. And the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 23. Mark 11, 23. Verse 2 here. And if I have prophecy and know all secrets and all knowledge, and if I have all belief so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am none at all. In other words, if you don't love your brothers and sisters and love Yahweh, what good is any of it? Verse 3. And if I give out all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, I am not profited at all. Because without brotherly love and love of Yahweh, that is the core of your life, really. And he goes on to explain all of that. Verse 4. Love is patient, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast, is not puffed up. Verse 5. Does not behave indecently, does not seek its own, is not provoked, reckons not the evil. Verse 6. Does not rejoice over the unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, it covers all, believes all, expects all, endures all. Verse 8, love never fails. And whether there be prophecies, they shall be inactive. Or tongues, they shall cease. Or knowledge, it shall be inactive. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be inactive. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish matters. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, as I also have been known. When Yeshua comes, all things are going to be revealed to us. We have all these questions that they're going unanswered in a lot of things. People ask me questions all the time, some of which I can answer because it's been revealed, and there's things that have not been revealed yet, and some questions I can't answer. I mean, I have knowledge. Yes, I understand that. That's a gift from Yahweh. I have been given knowledge and the ability to speak. That's my calling. That's something that I do. But to know it all, I don't have an ego like that. That I you know, there are a lot of things I don't know. And I have to be honest, and somebody asks me a question and I don't have the answer, I will tell them, look, I don't have the answer. I will research it and try to find it. But I'm not going to tell you that I'm a be-all, know-all right now, because I don't know. I can't answer you. Some people understand that. Some people go away disappointed. I can't help that. I'm a man. I am not a divine being, and I don't have all knowledge. I'm not a frail old man, not anymore. My health is coming back like gangbusters. It's great. Believe me. Man, I'm walking around like a kid. I've got energy. Just, oh, Yahweh has fired me up. That's why I think, you know, the indicators are I'm going to be here for the big fight. Oh, man. The warrior. That Scottish guy with the broadsword is down in me with my German ancestors that moved up into Scotland. That warrior of the tribe of Yehuda is just straining at the bit. I mean, I want to get at these evil demons so bad. Ugh. I get along with my Israelite brothers and sisters just fine. But I am not touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. Okay? A little fuzzy, maybe. Around the face, I got a beard, but the touchy-feely liberal, no, I love everybody. Well, no, I don't. I hate evil. I hate the minions of evil, and I want to use these swords that I've got to get at them. Believe me, I am eager for the fight. Right now, the only way I can fight is right here. Every day I'm at it, and it's going to have to do for now. You know, Yahweh's going to have me do what Yahweh's going to have me do, and I'm just going to say, yes, Father. I don't argue. What I want doesn't matter. It's what he wants. All right. Verse 13 and the end of chapter 13. And now belief, expectation, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, he's not talking about sexual love. He's talking about real love. Caring for your brothers and sisters more than you care for yourself. You love your brothers and sisters. I try to exhibit that. It doesn't mean I don't get angry with some of them sometimes, or they don't get angry with me. Hey, look, you know. But I would lay down my life for my brethren, you know. And I may yet. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you the future. I can see things that are coming that are sticking out like a sore thumb. like this battle coming up, all the evil that's expanding in the world with the craziness of the world. Hey, I'm ready for a battle. Yahweh will get my body in shape if he wants me to do a physical participation. Or he's going to keep me doing this until the end. I don't know. I'm going to follow what Yahweh says. You know, what I want is irrelevant. That ends chapter 13. Let's get into chapter 14. I'm loving this read. Paul is just such a great teacher. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Pursue love and earnestly seek the spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Verse 2. For he who is speaking in a tongue does not speak to men but to Elohim. For no one understands, but in the Spirit he speaks secrets. If it's an unknown tongue, it's a real language. But the people around him, if he's speaking Greek in the middle of a bunch of other people that don't speak Greek, I mean, he's speaking Greek, but they're not understanding. Okay. Verse 3. But he who is prophesying speaks upbuilding and encouragement and comfort to man. Verse 4. He who is speaking in a tongue builds up himself, but he who is prophesying builds up the assembly. Verse 5. Now, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you might prophesy, for he who is prophesying is greater than he who is speaking with tongues, unless he interprets, so that the assembly might receive upbuilding. Verse 6. But now, brothers, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? In other words, just standing up there babbling away in a foreign language doesn't do the assembly any good. They don't know what he's saying. It's just, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, I'm a big fan of clarity. Be very clear about what you're saying. Verse 7, nevertheless, lifeless instruments making a sound, whether flute or harp, if they do not make a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? Got to play a tune, okay? Not just... Okay. Verse 8. For indeed, if the trumpet makes an indistinct sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? They had signals that they would sound with a trumpet. Like they do, you know, they reveille, etc. You know, attack, all the charge, whatever. Back in the old cavalry days. That's charge. Well, that was a code. It was not an indistinct sound with a guy just blowing on a trumpet. Verse 9. So also you, if you do not give speech by the tongue that is clear, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall be speaking into the air. You'll be babbling. Blah, 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 blah. What do you do? I'm speaking in tongues. What tongue? I don't know. Verse 10. There are undoubtedly so many kinds of sounds in the world, and none of them is without distinct sound. Verse 11, if then I do not know the power of the voice, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks to be a foreigner to me. In other words, don't just stand up there and babble. Just run off at the mouth, supposedly speaking in tongues. A tongue needs to be an actual spoken language. Verse 12. So also you, since you are ardent for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in the upbuilding of the assembly. Verse 13, therefore, he who is speaking in a tongue, let him pray that he might interpret. In other words, when he's done, he could tell you what he was saying. Verse 14, for if I am praying in a tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is without fruit. In other words, what good? Verse 15, what then is it? I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall also pray with the understanding. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall also sing with the understanding. Verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how shall he who fills up the place of the unlearned say, Amen, at your giving of thanks, as he does not know what you say? Verse 17, for you truly to give thanks well, but the other is not built up. For you truly give thanks well, but the other is not built up. You're praying, you're blessing, but it's not helping the guy that doesn't understand what you're saying. It doesn't help build him up. And what's our purpose in an assembly? To build each other up. To help. To have discourse among ourselves. To learn more of the ways of Yahweh. So if you're just running off the mouth, what good is that? What good? They do that in these Judeo-Christian churches. And they think that's holy. It's not. All right. Verse 18. I thank my Elohim. I speak with tongues more than you all. But they were all tongues that actually, languages that were spoken. They were real languages, not just noise. Verse 19. But in an assembly, I wish to speak five words with my understanding, that I might instruct others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Verse 20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, but in evil be babes. And in your thinking be perfect. Verse 21. And reference Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. In the Torah, it has been written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I shall speak to this people, and even so they shall not hear me, says Yahweh. Verse 22. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. And prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Verse 23. If then all the assembly comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers, shall they not say that you are mad? That means crazy. Okay. Verse 24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an unlearned one comes in, he is reproved by all. He is discerned by all. Verse 25. And so the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he shall worship Elohim, declaring that Elohim is truly among you. Speaking the right words, it's going to get to him. It's going to touch his spirit. Verse 26. What then is it, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all be done for upbuilding. That's all these gifts that you're given. Use them in the assembly to edify your brethren, okay? Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. And here's instructions that people need to follow, and they don't in these Judeo-Christian churches. Verse 28, and if there is no interpreter, let him be silent in an assembly, and let him speak to himself and to Elohim. In other words, don't babble on in this tongue if you can't tell people what you're actually saying. They need to understand what's being said, not just noise. Verse 29, and let two or three prophets speak, and let the others discern. Verse 30. And if there should be a revelation to another who sits by, let the first be silent. Verse 31. For you are all able to prophesy one by one, so that all learn and all be encouraged. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And he clarifies this here. Verse 33. For Elohim is not of disorder, but of peace, as in all the assemblies of the set apart ones. The called out ones, the remnant, okay? Now, this is going to upset some folks out there. I'm going to quote Paul. This is his instruction for this assembly at Corinth. Now, you don't have to like this, but here it comes. Verse 34. Let your women be silent in the assemblies, for they are not allowed to speak. They don't get up and preach, no women preachers. But let them subject themselves, as the Torah also says. And you can reference Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Genesis 3:16, verse 35, and if they wish to learn whatever, let them ask their own husbands at home. Here's going to be the bomb, okay? For it is improper for women to speak in an assembly. I'm being silent. I'm letting that bomb drop. So don't send me a bunch of hate mail. I'm quoting Paul. Now, you don't have to like that, but you're going to have to accept it. Verse 36. Or did the word of Elohim go out from you? Or did it reach only to you? Verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge what I write to you. that they are a command of the Master. That's Yahshua. This is straight from the Holy Spirit to us. You understand? This is not Paul flapping his gums. He's not saying this is his opinion. This is a commandment that he was given through the Holy Spirit. Verse 38, and if anyone is ignorant, that's someone that's not knowing, he doesn't know things, let him be ignorant. Verse 39, so then, brothers, earnestly seek to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And here's the kicker. Verse 40, let all be done decently and in order. You have an orderly assembly. You don't just have people just running all over the aisle, shrieking and doing all this stuff. If you see some of these Judeo-Christian services for these full gospel, it's bedlam. It's mad. It's a madhouse. They're running around and they're falling down and foaming at the mouth and doing. That's not orderly worship of Yahweh. That's not how it's supposed to be done. And you get these liberal Judeo-Christian churches with women preachers, women priests of. Episcopalians or some, one of the denominations. They have women priests, whatever. I mean, come on. They don't want to hear this gospel. They want to do what they want to do. What's one of the big problems today is women wanting to have dominance over men. That's not the natural order of things. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But that's the way it is with all these feminists, etc., etc., and boy, is that ever a disaster. And it's very hard to be among people that do these things. Now, I was at the Feast of Tabernacles this year, and the women that were there were very feminine. They were properly dressed. They were respectful. If they had questions, they had questions. They would ask them, and then we would get. They were inquisitive as to the scripture, and they were studying scripture. They were Bible believing, holy women. They were not boisterous. They were not foul mouthed. They were not dressed in an improper manner. In short, they were ladies. They were ladies. They behaved themselves according to the gospel. What a refreshing change from the world. I'm stuck out in this world and I have to suffer the noise and nagging of mouthy women that don't know when to shut up. Blah, 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 blah. And they want to act like a man. They want to argue. They want to fight. That's disgusting. I'm sick of women like that. And to be in an assembly with women that behave like they're supposed to behave in Scripture, what a blessing. What a blessing. Those were some wonderful, wonderful women. They were cheerful. They were helpful. They were kind. And most of all, they were polite. How hard is it to be polite? But the majority of the women today are not polite. They're rude and they're mouthy. They have a big lesson to learn. Because those CI gals that were down there at that feast were an example of proper behavior, and a lot of women could learn a lot of things from those ladies. And I applaud them, and I give them my very best. They were a blessing and a pleasure to be around. Absolute pleasure. And it was a great gathering. It really, really was. And I'm back, and it's been weeks, and I'm still so fired up. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. What an assembly. What a gathering. What prayer. Baptisms. In the like. The biblical way. Man. Anointings. Healings. Prayer. Group prayer. The way it's supposed to be done when the remnant gathers. Ah, there is hope in the world yet, brothers and sisters, but it's in assemblies of called out ones. It's not in these Judeo-Christian churches, and it's not out on the street. The street is a seething mass of devils. Oh, all praise and all glory to Yahweh, and all praise and all glory to Yeshua, our kinsman redeemer. It's been a pleasure. We'll start in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians on the next show. I'll see you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.